Do I have this?
I'm on. All right. We're beginning a new study guide tonight in our second course called Biblical Ministries 2. And the name of this study guide is God's Design for Ministry. Now, we just had a pop question for the students. What does the word ministry mean? And they all answered it unanimously correct. It means service. So we know that what we're going to be studying is about God's design for service. And we know that if it's God's design, then it's based on one pattern. His name is Jesus. So we know that we're going to be looking at ministry as God designed it to be and as Jesus demonstrated it to be. Service. Now, one of the things that I noticed when we began to print this study guide out is that when we originally wrote it, we used the New King James Version for the first two scriptures, and we used the New Living Translation for the third scripture in Ephesians. And copyright privileges require now that if we're going to print these and put them out in, for anyone to use, that we must use the King James Version of the Bible. That's the only one that we're authorized to use without getting copyright permissions. Okay, that's the universal okay one, and that's all. So we had to change this, and then looking at the King James Version of the way all this was written, we decided that it's complicated when you read it that way. So, what you have is the author's translation from the Greek texts. And I'm going to read right out of these because the theeth and the thouth with the King James just makes us, it just complicates it. We don't want to do that. So let's look at our first three anchor scriptures for the study guide. And the first one begins in Romans 12. Verses 3 through 5, and you're welcome to read out of your own translation, or you can read along in the study guide with me, which is the translation that we wrote from the Greek, the original texts. Romans 12, 3 through 5. Through the grace that has been given to me, I'm telling every one of you not to hold yourself in higher esteem than you should. Be moderate in your thinking. God has bestowed upon each of you a measure of faith. Just as the physical body has many members that function differently, the body of Christ also has many members with different functions. Although we are individual members, we are all part of one another, since we are one body. We talked about that a little bit as class began tonight. When we assemble together with our brothers and sisters in the Lord, even on a small scale, then we begin to get a picture of the variety and beauty and function of the entire body of Christ. We have a glimpse, don't we? In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 27, we read, just as the physical body is one entity with many members, so is the body of Christ. Through one Spirit, we were all immersed into one body. Now, that's an amazing thing to me. It does not matter if one is a Jew or any other nationality, a slave or a free man. We have all become one with the same Spirit. And isn't that what Jesus prayed that we would in John 17? As a matter of fact, the body is not one member. It is made up of many members. Because the foot is not a hand, it cannot say it is not part of the body because it is not. I'm sorry. I skipped a line. Let me go back. Because the foot is not a hand, it cannot say that it is not part of the physical body because it is. And the ear cannot say it is not part of the body because it is not an eye. If the whole body were an eye, how would we hear? If the whole body were an ear, how could we smell? Just as God has set each member of the physical body in the place he desired, so he has done with the body of Christ. God sets each member of the body of Christ in the position he wants the person to function. If every member of the physical body were the same, how could it function? The body of Christ is no different. Each person must function in the position God has set him. There are many members in the body of Christ. However, there's only one body. In the physical body, the eye cannot tell the hand it doesn't need it. Neither can the head tell the feet that it does not need them. In fact, the members of the physical body that seem to be less honorable are necessary. We actually give greater honor to these members because they're vital to us. We clothe the parts of our physical bodies that we do not want to be seen, but the other parts have no need of clothing. Just as God has assembled the physical body, he has also assembled the body of Christ. God does not want any division in the body of Christ. Therefore, we should look out for the best interest of each other. Like the physical body, if a member in the body of Christ suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members are delighted. All the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ comprise the body of Christ, yet we are still individual members with our own unique function. And the third scripture that anchors this study guide, I, Paul, a prisoner because of my service for the Lord, appeal to you to live a life that is worthy of the invitation that has been given to you. Be modest and humble and patient with each other. Through love, overlook the imperfections of others. Put forth the effort to keep yourselves united in the Holy Spirit and bind yourselves together with peace. We are all members of one body, and we are all united by one Spirit. We can all expect the same future to which we have been called. Isn't that beautiful? I was wondering as I read this, I wonder what would happen if we just got these two things done. Be modest and humble and patient with each other. Through love, overlook the imperfections of others. What if we would just do those? If we would, then people would more readily recognize us as the body of Christ. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one toward another." The theme of this study is that it is imperative that ministers understand the true meaning of ministry. By definition, ministry means service, and you all got that right before we even started the study guide, and you have learned that principle. As ministers, we must join together in service to God and to the body of Christ. Jealousy and contention are works of the flesh. When you see it, remember that. That is flesh, and God's not in it. When you hear it, remember that. That is flesh, and God's not in that. Therefore, jealousy and contention have no place in the ministry. We must recognize and utilize the various gifts in the body of Christ, including ministers. God designed us to complete, not compete, to complete one another, not to compete with one another. It is mandatory that we work together, giving honor to one another. Now, I will say from the outset of this study guide that if the churches, and I say churches meaning the organized, the organizations that call themselves churches, we know the church is the body of Christ. That's by definition in the scriptures. But if organized or organizations that call themselves churches, if we would practice what I have just read, no further than that, it would be a different respect that others have and a different desire that others have for becoming part of who we are. Whether they know that that means becoming one with Jesus or whether they don't and have to learn it when they get here, they would be attracted to who we are for no other reason than because of how we operate. Where else can you go where people truly do prefer one another over themselves? Where else could you go but the body of Christ, where there's not jealousy or contention because of promotion or giftings or opportunities or any such thing, but there's delight because that member is being honored. I recognize they're one with me because we're part of the body of Christ. So when you're being honored, I am too, because we're one. But you know, it just doesn't work that way very often. In fact, what we find is that many people become jealous, even to the point of being willing to talk about somebody or try to undo what the Lord has done with them. In other words, I didn't do that. I didn't get credit for it. It makes me mad that you did. Or I did do it. I didn't get credit for it. Makes me mad that you are. And I'm not happy. So I'm going to pout, and I'm going to have my feelings hurt. I might even leave the church or withhold my tithe for a while until the preacher learns the lesson that I'm not pleased. And on top of that, I don't like you anyway. And unfortunately, that has been what people have known about, quote, the church people. They think they're better than everybody, and they don't get along with each other, let alone all the rest of us. What I'm saying, and I'm not being critical either, I'm just saying that we have not lived this. This revelation that Paul received was right from Jesus. And it came in the way of instruction to the churches that were being established, the local assemblies that were being established. And so he is, in fact, he said it's mandatory, so he's really giving a command, but he's giving guidelines for how we should behave ourselves. And what he's saying is, we are one by the prayer and the heart of Jesus Christ. The Father has given us the potential to be one. By the Spirit. The Spirit is the cement that pulls all these members, these varied members, together into one body. We're all part of the body of Christ through the Holy Spirit. But we have not recognized this. Now, I see glimpses, and I'm very hopeful with what I see. For one, this Bible college, all different, all beautiful, all talented, all part of different assemblies. Very few of us, quote, go to church, as we call it, together. We're all in different places, but we come together here. So right here is a nucleus of potential for us to operate the way God designed ministry to operate. Then when I leave here, I go to my field. And when I go to my field, I have days like I had today. I get bumped around, knocked around, scattered out, and wrung out sometimes. And so do you. I come home to where I fit, and it should be medicine to my soul and rest to my bones and peace to my heart when I come together with you all. And it is. So I say again, I get glimpses, of the way it's supposed to be. I know nobody in this place would think of hurting me. And I wouldn't think of hurting you. And I wouldn't let anybody else either if I could help it. I wouldn't listen to it. Just wouldn't listen to it. And if they told me something about you, I would know it wasn't true, because I know you. And I think, that's not who I know. And I could dismiss it, wherever they were coming from. I could just dismiss that. You would do the same thing for me. I know we prefer one another in this Bible college. And I know we model this. Now, this is what churches are to be like. Many people that I talk to who don't go to church don't go because they went one time or several times. And when they got there, several things happened to cause them not to want to go back. They might not have felt welcomed. They might not have felt that they were as good as everybody else. They might not have felt like they fit in. Or they might have seen some of the ways of others and been turned off. Or they might have heard a message that wasn't the way Jesus would talk to people. And they might have thought, you know, I don't want to go back for any more of that. Why do I want to hear how bad I am? Give me some hope. Give me a reason to come back. Love me into the body of Christ. What drew us in? The goodness of God. It's the goodness of God that causes us to repent, to turn in a 180-degree direction from where we were heading to where He wants us to go. It's the goodness of God that causes us to repent, the Scriptures teach. So, if that's the case, then it's the goodness of God coming through me that's going to cause somebody else to be attracted to Jesus. But if I'm spiteful, jealous, contentious, gossipy, if I covet what you have and I'm mad because I don't have it, or if I don't want to see you succeed, because when you succeed, then that makes me look bad because I'm not being successful in the Lord. And you might even try to stop me from being, you know, I might try to stop you from being successful with that jealous, contentious spirit. Then that makes people not want to be part of who we are. And if we say we're Christians or we're the body of Christ, then they don't want to be part of the body of Christ, and we're responsible for that. Because they haven't seen Him operate through us the way this body of Christ was designed to operate. And that's what we're going to study about. How does that look? What is that like? Recognizing the abilities and legitimacy of other ministers and ministries is vital to the welfare of the church. And when I say the capital church, I'm talking about the body of Christ. So, a couple of things come to mind here. Number one, I shouldn't be putting down any assembly. I should recognize the abilities and the legitimacy of other ministries. And number two, I should value my own place of ministry and be content at what God has called me to do in the body, or what He's called the local assembly to do that I'm part of. Not being critical of other assemblies who do things differently. But on the contrary, being willing to come together with them and unite what we have to what they have and make it a more complete functioning body. We're not competing with ministries across town or next door. Or we shouldn't be. If they're doing what God has called them to do, if they are fulfilling the vision that God has given their oversight, and if they're yielding, you know, their gifts and abilities and contributions and their vision, if it's blending into that vision and causing the overall or the main vision to come to pass, then we should applaud them. And we should work with them every opportunity that we get, because they're doing something we're not. But we're doing something they're not. And if we're doing what God has called us to do, and they're doing what God has called them to do, and we join forces, then we're going to be a stronger force in this city and in this earth. But instead, the body of Christ has been divided. Now, when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, I know you're still babies. You're immature, and here's how I know it. Because there are still factions and divisions among you. One of you says, well, I follow Apollos. One of you says, well, I follow Paul. One of you says, well, I follow Jesus, and that makes me better than either one of you. And he says, that's how I know. I can't feed you meat. You would choke on it. Because you're not even assembled together as believers. You're babies. You're immature. You're contentious and jealous of one another. And some of you think you're better than others, and you're cliquish. You're babies. And yet, in the chapter right before that, in chapter 12, he said, you don't come behind in any of the gifts. So, the giftings don't mean that we're mature. In fact, if we don't have, well, he goes on to talk about in that middle chapter, which is sandwiched in there, the love chapter, we call it. This is how love operates. We'll read that before this is over, because that's what I was thinking about as I was studying. Love's not proud and resentful. And he goes on to give, it's patient, kind. Goes on to give a lot of examples. We're going to look at that. And if you have the gifts, you can have all the gifts, he said. If you don't have love and operate in love, then you're just a bunch of racket. And nobody wants to hear what you have to say. You're immature. And that's where the church is right now, as a whole. Organized religion, okay? The true church of Jesus is not. He said, I'll build my church, and they'll look just like me. They'll just conform right into my body and be getting like me more and more all the time. That's his body. That's our predestination, is to be conformed to his image. Now, those of us who truly love him, truly love each other, because we realize we're one. You know what? If we're one body, and you're dragging along and slowing us down, then I need to help you. Because I'm not going anywhere without you, not really. If you're part of me, and you're slowed down because you're hurt or wounded or whatever, then I'm slowing down because you're part of me until we get you better and we can run together. I'm not turning around pointing my finger at my foot saying, what's wrong with you? Come on. We got things to do. My foot says, I'm hurting. I can't walk anymore. Here's some pain just to show you that I need help. Why is that so hard for us? I know you see this principle in the natural. I was thinking as I was reading the scripture a minute ago, we understand to intricate details the development of a child within the womb, how it grows. And it's so predictable what's going to come into development and that child be capable of at this point, what that formation is going to look like at that point. How all of this comes, all those members come together out of two cells that unite. The potential for all those members is there. All those little fingers, all those little toes, all those little parts we count when they come out. And it's a miracle when they come. And they're just whole. God does that. And we see that with our natural eyes and experience. Babies are born every day. Miracles. If we can get that in the natural, and we've got that, then we can have a picture of what we're to look like in the spirit as a corporate body. I'm different from you, but I'm necessary to you because I'm one of your parts. And you're one of mine. And without you, I'm not complete as the body of Christ, and you're not complete without me. We need each other. But we don't treat each other like we need each other. Most of the organized church world doesn't. They come together, do their thing on Sunday, and they go their separate way for the rest of the week. till they all dress up and come together again and wonder who looks the best on Sunday, who drove in the newest car, who made the best potato salad for the fellowship, who's got the sweetest children, who's got the wildest children. The preacher's got the wildest children. We all know the answer to that. That's what people think. They expect you got the sweetest children. Good. You know what I'm saying? We measure each other up right and left by things that don't matter. In fact, the differences are given to make us beautiful when we come together. I'm not supposed to be you. You're not supposed to be me. That was not the design ever. You're one of a kind. And you're my kind if you're part of the body of Christ, and you are. And we need each other. Now, if we can understand that, and I believe we can, and if we can start acting like that, and I mean not acting, but I mean living, like demonstrating this principle in this earth, then people are going to be attracted to you wherever you are, whatever field you're operating in, because that is so contrary to what they see in the world. It's dog eat dog and climb all over you to get above you and wherever I want to go. And that's what they live with. But we're so different from that. We came with a basin and a towel if we came like Jesus to wash their weary feet and to serve them. That's why we're here. And if we have that, if we carry that spirit about us of service, ministry, if you will, and we're going to be successful in the field God puts us in, because we're going to make a difference and an impact in that field for Him. Somebody's going to see Jesus. Somebody's going to see Jesus. So we should recognize the abilities of other ministers right here in our local body and of other ministries. When I sit here and I hear Tony sing on Sunday morning, it thrills my heart. I cannot do that. I wish I could. I love that gift. I don't have it, but I really do, because I got Tony. He's part of me. I'm part of him. That doesn't threaten me. It thrills me. And if we can see that principle, I don't have to be able to sing. My brother can. So when we need the gift of song, all I got to do is call on him and we'll have what we need. See, every joint supplying what everybody needs. That's the design of the body of Christ. As ministers, let's see if I can find my place. Yeah. It's imperative that ministers understand the true meaning of ministry. Ooh, it's time to stop. Gracious. Well, why don't we're at the theme. Why don't we just stop right here and come back to this after break? Will that be all right? Okay.